The Shandilya Vidya occurs in the third chapter, the 14th section of the third chapter. And there is another one called Samvarga Vidya, which is at the beginning of the fourth chapter. With these two, we shall conclude our study of the Chandogya Upanishad. So you look up to the 14th section of the third chapter. It is called Shandilya Vidya. It is a very famous meditation. Shandilya, the great rishi, seems to have had this revelation of the Supreme Being. A vidya is a meditation, an art of thinking the supreme goal. At once, the meditation begins with the proclamation of the all-comprehensiveness of Brahman. Sarvam khalvidam Brahma. All this is Brahma. This is a very famous passage in the Upanishad. This is how you have to meditate. Tat jalani tishanta upasita. Calm and quiet and peaceful, you have to meditate that everything comes from that, everything is sustained in that, and everything returns to that. The cause, that is the origination, the sustenance, and the dissolution of all things is this Brahman. Inasmuch as it is the cause of all things, naturally every effect in the form of this creation is to be contained there. We too are effects of this creation, so we too are contained in it. So there is a great justification in the assertion that everything is the Supreme Being. Logically, naturally, when the effects are all contained in the cause, one should be able to appreciate the all-comprehensiveness of the cause. The cause only is, inasmuch as no effect can be separated from the cause, there is an undifferentiated relationship between the effect and the cause. There is no gap between the one and the other. We are not isolated from the cause. There is no vital cut or gulf between this universe of effects and the cause, which is Brahman. So this means to say that even now we are vitally connected with the Absolute. There is an organic relationship we are maintaining even at this moment. The difficult part of this meditation is that we ourselves as thinkers are associated vitally, organically with this Supreme Being. We cannot think like this. The mind will refuse to think. We can think something outside us. We can think the whole universe practically. But we cannot think something in which we ourselves are involved. Because there it is that the mind finds it incapable of functioning. There is no such thing mind thinking itself. Aristotle said that God is thought thinking itself. Very difficult to understand what it means. How can thought think itself? It always thinks something else. So the Brahman cannot be thought. Yet this is the injunction of the Upanishad. The highest kind of meditation is Sarvam Khalvidam Brahma. All this manifestation which you see in the form of these individualities, whether organic or inorganic, visible or invisible, wherever it be, everything is just that, nothing but that is. So again, to reiterate, the most difficult part to swallow here is that you yourself are a part of that. Then how would you think? So it requires a tremendous psychological preparation and an extraordinary type of purity of mind to appreciate what this instruction means. This is not an ordinary type of meditation. It is most extraordinary in the sense that you are contemplating yourself as it were and not somebody else. That is implied in the fact that everything is included in that, not excluding yourself. So thus should you meditate. Sarvam khalvidam brahma. All this verily is the supreme absolute brahma. Tad jalaniti shanta upasita. How do you contemplate the brahman? The whole universe, you can imagine what the universe could be, has come from that. Has not come from that as something different from that. The very substance of this creation is the substance of the Absolute. That is one aspect of the matter. The other aspect is, there is no disconnection between the effect and the cause. So you can imagine how hard it is to entertain this thought. Everything is that because of the effect being non-dissociated from the cause. It is connected with the cause. It is sustained even now at the time of the apparent creation in that only, and it will go back. So there is no place for anything to exist except that. Thus one should meditate. Shanta upasita. Atha khalu kratu maya purushaha yatha kratu asmin loke purusho bhavati तथा इतः प्रेत्य भवति स क्रतुं गुरुवीता. The word kratu means several things. It means an effort of the will, an action of the mind, a determination of the understanding, a meditation that you practice. All this meaning is comprehended in the word kratu. The whole of one's life is nothing but a determination or willing in this manner. Or throughout our life we will in some way. The individual is an embodiment of action performed through the will. And whatever you will, that you become because of the intensity of the practice. यथा क्रतु अस्मिन् लोके पुरुषः तथैव भवति. As you affirm, so you do, so you experience, that you become. Your experiences are nothing but your affirmations through the will. You have affirmed something very intensely in your previous lives, and the reward of those affirmations is the present series of experiences you are passing through here. So this is a caution again administered to us. Inasmuch as whatever you think intensely, continuously, that you are going to become. What should you think throughout your life if you want to become Brahman? Can you understand? You want to become the Absolute itself. What should be the kind of thought that you should entertain? What should be the type of affirmation that you should make? How should your will work? This need not be explained further because it is obvious. What you think, that you become. And you want to become the Absolute. So what should you think? The answer is very clear. Itah pretya bhavati tathaiva sakratum kurvita. Therefore, my dear friends, spend your time in absorption of your thought in Brahman. This is going to be your meditation throughout your life. The Upanishad gives some further details as to how we could conduct this meditation in our life. मनोमयः प्राणशरीरः भारूपः सत्यसंकल्पः आकाशात्मा सर्वकर्मा सर्वकामः सर्वगंधः सर्वरसः सर्वमिदं अभ्यात्तः अवाक्य अनादरः. द होल मेंटल वर्ल्ड इज परमिएटेड बाय दिस बीइंग. द लाइट ऑफ द माइंड, द लाइट ऑफ अंडरस्टैंडिंग The light of your intelligence is the light of Brahman. It appears to be embodied through these pranas and the body. These pranas, this particular body of yours, is a vehicle, an embodiment to particularize this universalized consciousness. And even these as effects, as mentioned already, these effects are not different from the cause. So this manomaya sharira or prana sharira, this vital body or the mental body of yours, is not going to be regarded as distinguishable from the Absolute. They are only occasions for the meditation of Brahman. From the particular, you have to go to the original or the universal. Though the particular is limited in comparison with the expanse of the universal, qualitatively it cannot be different from the universal. So from the drop you can know the ocean. Just from the particular you can reach the universal. Thus is the meditation. Bharupa, it is effulgence in its nature. Light is its character. It is the glory of consciousness, that it is effulgence. Satya Sankalpa, whatever is willed through this consciousness is materialized at once. This is what we studied in the last chapter of the Upanishad. Akashatma, the self of this being is as vast as space. It is not a limited individual self. The whole space itself is the self. As vast as the self, as vast as the space is, so wide is this self which is the Brahman. It is therefore all comprehensive. Sarva karma, all actions are its actions. It performs everything. Whatever I do, whatever you do, whatever anyone does, whatever happens anywhere in all the levels of creation, all these are activities of that being. It is the fingers of God working through all these phenomena of nature. All the ways in which the mind thinks are the ways it thinks. Sarva kama. All the wishes in your mind, all the desires are its desires ultimately, in some way or the other. Every kind of desire, whatever the nature of that desire be, it is nothing but a movement of consciousness towards universality, in some way or the other. This subject we have studied in some detail when we had occasion to go through the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, that every desire is universal desire ultimately. Sarva gandha, anything that you smell through the nose is again an activity of that being only. This again was mentioned earlier in the 8th chapter of the Upanishad. The objects as well as the means of cognition are both itself only appearing objectively on one side in one aspect and subjectively in another. Sarvarasa, all tastes, anything that you contact through the organ of taste, is nothing but the activity of it. Sarvam idam abhyataha. Everything is enveloped by that. What further can we speak of? It is enveloping all. Isha vasya vidam sarvam. Inside and outside it is there as antaryamin. It does not speak, but it can convey its message. Avaki, anadara. It has no desires in the ordinary sense. It is not eager to grasp things, grab things, have things, etc., because it is all things. This is not merely a teaching, giving some information, but it is a meditation called Shandilya Vidya, the way in which the mind has to be organized in daily meditation, so that it may not wander from place to place, so that it may not think of many things. The many things do not exist, so what will the mind think? Esha ma atma antar hridaye aniyan vriheyarva yavadva sarasapadva shyamagadva shyamagatanduladva. This great being, the Supreme Brahman, is in my own heart, as fine and subtle as you can conceive of. Anuvaraniyan. Subtlest is it, most subtle, even among those that you regard as subtle in this world. Subtler than a grain of rice or paddy, subtler than a grain of millet, subtler than the kernel of this grain, so small, subtler than a mustard seed, is this great being seated in my heart. But does it mean it is so small like a mustard seed? No, it is as vast as the whole of creation also. So objectively also it has to be contemplated. In the same way as you contemplate it subjectively as your own deepest self, inseparable from your being, you also know contemplate it as inseparable from the whole cosmos. Eshama atma antarhridaye jayan prithivyah. This little thing I refer to as my own self here is bigger than this vast earth. It is not merely as fine as a millet seed. It is vaster than this whole earth, vaster than this entire atmosphere. Jayan antarikshat. It is vaster than all these worlds, not merely this atmosphere. Jayan diva. It is larger than even the sky and the heavens. Jayan ebhyo lokebhya. All the 14 worlds cannot comprehend its magnitude. It is vaster than all the 14 worlds of creation. So vast is its objectivity and magnitude. Infinite is its expanse. And yet it is in me as if it is so little, like a small flame of light. This symbology is given only for the purpose of contemplation, because it has to be taught to us that it is not merely an infinite expanse outside us, unconnected with us, as a transcendent something, but as identical with our own being. The Upanishads are never tired of hammering down this idea that the Supreme Being is objectively infinite and subjectively the self of everyone. This is the principal meditation of almost every part of any Upanishad. It is the vast infinitude, incomprehensible to the mind, and yet nothing can be so near to you as that. So distant it is as the distant horizons themselves, because of its infinitude and vastness, and yet it is inseparable because it is Atma. Sarva karma, sarva kamaha, sarva gandhaha, sarva rasaha, sarvam idam abhyattaha, avakya nadaraha, eshama atma antarhadai, etat brahma, etam itah pretya, abhisambhavami, abhisambhavita asmi. यस्य स्याद् अद्धा न विचिकित्सा अस्ति इति हस्मा शांडिल्यः शांडिल्यः. शांडिल्य प्रोक्लेम्स दिस ग्रेट नॉलेज. ही वाज अ ग्रेट सेज. दिस ग्रेट बीइंग हूज एक्शंस आर ऑल एक्शंस, हूज डिजायर्स आर ऑल डिजायर्स, हूज फंक्शंस आर ऑल फंक्शंस through the senses, as described already. This thing that is inside me is that which is inside everything. Esha atma antarhridaye etad brahma. The reason why Atman is called Brahman is because it is the self of all. As the self, it is called Atma. As the comprehensive self, it is called Brahman. The doubt that may arise in the mind as to the location of the Atman is removed by the assertion that it is the self of all. Therefore, it is a contemplation on the all-pervading self, the universal self. Therefore, the Atman in me is the Brahman everywhere. This is what I am going to become. This is how you have to meditate. The moment you get up in the morning, this thought should come to the mind. It is said that the progress of one's life in spirituality can be judged from the first thought that occurs to your mind in the early morning when you get up. What is the first thought that comes to your mind the moment you get up from bed? That will give you an idea as to what you have been thinking throughout the day. Because the conscious mind has been suppressed in the deep sleep state. The impulses alone were working. And these impulses will thrust out certain ideas the moment you get up. It may be something which is connected with this world, or it may be something which is related to your sadhana. It may be a thought of anxiety, it may be a thought of freedom, it may be a thought of anything. From this we can have an idea or inkling as to how we have been conducting our thoughts. The Upanishad tells us that we have to meditate in this manner throughout our day, and as much time as we can spare for this purpose we have to give. So as the concluding portion of the 8th chapter of the Upanishad warned us already, we have to grow gradually, stage by stage, to this state of being able to give all our time for meditation. Many a time we have difficulties in finding time for meditation because of the vocations of life. So in the earlier stages, the advice is that as much time as you can spare should be set apart for the purpose of meditation, even if it be only for half an hour or 45 minutes or even less than that. Because it is not easy for the mind to accept that everything that it thinks can somehow or other be reconciled with spirituality. It always regards the ordinary life of the body and the senses and social existence as different from the vocations of spirituality. This is the habit of the mind. Though it is not a correct statement of the mind, it is what it actually believes. In the beginning, therefore, it is necessary to give conveniently, of course, not with the great effort and hardship on oneself. The life of the spirit is not one of suffocation or stifling of the mind. It is a gradual growth of the mind, spontaneously like the growth of a baby into an adult, without any kind of stifling of functions. We give as much time as is conveniently possible with satisfaction to the mind. Then it has to be increased by reduction of activity, reduction of sleep, and reduction of unnecessary things that we do in life which are not actually essential. You may be going to a club, you may be going to a picture, you may be having a chat with some friends. All these can be curtailed because they are not essential. But essential should be maintained. Then later on, in a more advanced stage, we must learn the art of seeing no distinction between our ordinary life and spiritual life. That is what is actually expected of us finally. There is no such thing as an unspiritual life finally. This was told to us again and again in the Upanishad. It looks unspiritual on account of our peculiar way of evaluating things. The idea of I-ness and mine-ness is the cause of this peculiar notion in the mind of there being a distinction between the ordinary life and spiritual life. In fact, we should not do things which we regard as wholly unspiritual or irreconcilable with our ultimate aim. And you will not do also what is wholly irrelevant to your life. You know it very well. It has some relevance or the other. We should not have any kind of despondency or diffidence in our heart that most part of our life is spent in unnecessary work. You will not do unnecessary work like that. There is some connection of your work with the purpose that you are having in your mind. But the wisdom lies in understanding what this connection is. Though the connection is there, we are not able to keep awareness of this what connection is there between our ordinary life and spiritual life. When this awareness arises, we enter into a flood of an all-comprehensiveness of approach through every aspect of our life. So meditation should be a continued practice. How long you should continue the meditation? You continue until you attain self-realization or until you die, whichever is earlier. Whoever has such intense faith as this mentioned here shall get it. If you have intense faith, you will get it. You should not have a shaking mood of the mind. There should not be suspicion. Am I fit for it? Will I get it? What is the good of it? This kind of doubt should not arise in the mind. I must get it. I am doing the best possible thing. As it is clear to me that I am putting forth all my effort to the extent of my possibility, I am doing my duty, I must get it. Such a doubtless attitude should be maintained throughout our life. If one has a faith of this kind, one should certainly attain it, no doubt. Yes, yes, sad, ardha, na vijigatsa asti, saha, pritya, avisambhavati, asmaha sandilya, shandilya. This is all the whole Upanishadic teaching compressed in this vidya called Shandilya Vidya. It is a very short statement, yet it contains everything. The meaning of this vidya or this meditation is very profound. The more you think about it, the greater is the meaning that you will be able to discover in it. And the meanings will be discovered as you go deeper and deeper into meditation. So here you have got in the Shandilya Vidya the whole subject of the Upanishad clinched as it were, kept inside your fist for the purpose of daily habituation of the mind to utter spirituality and entire God awareness. Hari Om Tatsat. The Shandilya Vidya about which we have been reading last time is a great meditation, as was already pointed out. It is the art of adjusting the mind inwardly as well as outwardly in the beginning by alternate processes and then finally in a grasp of the comprehensiveness of Brahman or reality in its simultaneously dual aspect of cosmicality and individuality. Adau Brahma Hamasmi Tyanubhava Udite Khalvidam Brahma Paschat. This is a passage from Acharya Shankara's Shatashloki, wherein he makes a reference to this Vidya, Shandilya Vidya, mentioning how the consciousness rises gradually from the level of individual perspective to the universal one. it is not easy to understand the meaning of what Acharya Shankara is saying here, because of the fact that we cannot distinguish between our personality or individuality and the Atman to which reference is being made here. We always mix up the two. The Atman is myself, and you know very well what we understand by the word myself. It is an inveterate habit of the mind to think in terms of body. So whatever be the thing that is associated with individuality is at once identified with body. But this is precisely what is not supposed to be done in meditation. The kernel that is within us, the essence that we are, is to be separated from the body that we appear to be in this technique of meditation. Adho Brahma Masmiti Anubhavudite. In the beginning there is a consciousness that one's own self is all. Now this is not merely a statement that is to be studied grammatically or linguistically, but a matter of experience. One's location in all things, in addition to one's own body, becomes a revealed truth in the advanced course of this meditation. Of course, we have got examples as to how this happens. It is something like a space within a vessel, realizing that it is everywhere. If you can regard yourself as a little space that is contained in a small glass tumbler, and it has got obsessed with the notion that it is inside the glass tumbler only, and what is outside a space is not itself but an object of itself, an external something to itself. If it is to elevate itself to the awareness of the non-distinguishability between itself and the external space, that would be the connotation of what is in the mind of Acharya Shankara. I am the all. The space within the vessel realizes that it is all space. It does not mean that it has become all space by any effort of its imagination or activity. It is just rising to the awareness that the wall around it, namely the tumbler, the glass, etc., is not going to limit its all-pervasive nature. Then the realization comes, Khalvidam Brahma, Paschat. It is not merely I that is, that I am all, but everyone is the same all. The self that is in me is not in me only. The assertion Aham Brahma can be made by each center of individuality in a similar manner as I do. So this is a larger realization, says Shankara. It is a rise from the limitation of one's individuality to the cosmic reality of one's essence, and a simultaneous awareness of the identity of every self, the so-called multiplicity of self, with this single self. So it is the total of all the selves in an indistinguishable mass, rising to a single comprehension of the great absolute Brahma. This is the actual inner import of the meditational technique of Shandilya Vidya.